When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now. In a city where time disappears, we create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big, we go all night, and here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Hard times
like that. Hello and welcome to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network. A lot to get into today. Let's not waste any time. Let's bring in from the Sporting Tribune, Steve Karp. Steve, how are you?
I'm good. Happy Memorial Day to everybody. Actually, it's not a happy day. It's a solemn day, but you know what I mean.
Exactly.
Hope everyone has a good, safe holiday.
Steve, you were at the Indiana Fever, Las Vegas Aces game, and we'll talk about this in this segment and then the next segment with Willie Ramirez. The Caitlin Clark effect is really incredible. Selling out Crypto.com Arena in Los Angeles, a crowd of over 19,000, the most ever for a Sparks game. Just because of the way that the arena is configured for a Lakers game, more than a Lakers game in terms of the crowd. Set the scene in Las Vegas, Carpi. What was that game like?
It felt like a playoff game. I mean, the atmosphere was festive. There were a lot of fans wearing Iowa T-shirts, Indiana Fever T-shirts with number 22 on them. Her Iowa coaches, Lisa Bluter and Jan Jensen, were there. They were sitting courtside by the Aces bench. I mean, it was just a cool vibe. I mean, so many people are curious about her. She'd never been to Las Vegas, believe it or not. You know, even like when she was a kid playing AAU ball. You know, it's funny, Arash. We've had AAU ball here in Vegas for, what, 35, 40 years now, right?
Yep.
You don't hear a lot about girls basketball. It's mostly boys, right?
Yeah.
So whatever Caitlin Clark's formative years as a high schooler were, they kind of stayed in the Midwest. So this was her first time to Vegas. Obviously, it was on the second of a back-to-back. They'd played in L.A. the night before. She didn't get a chance to see a lot of the city or do anything, really. You know, no gambling, no shows, no going out for a nice dinner. It was pretty much a strictly a business trip. And she ran into a buzzsaw of a team. The Aces were coming off a loss to Phoenix. They had 4 days to prepare for. They were ready. And they did not let her dominate.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they Las Vegas came off a heartbreaking loss to Phoenix, so they weren't about to lose two straight at home. And then the gauntlet that the Fever were in, and again, this is the league putting the team through that, knowing that the Caitlin Clark effect, wanting to have signature games on national television, sending her to New York, sending her to Los Angeles, sending her to Las Vegas. Listen, this is not a very good team. They are 1-6 to start the season.
No.
That being said, no other team has played 7 games. In fact, some teams have played about like half as many games. So you wrote a fantastic column. Basically, and again, the hate is really on social media. A lot of the hate, I don't know where it's coming from because she is so great for the league. Steve, if you can expand upon the column that you wrote post-game.
You know, I've been reading all the stuff about her being said, and I don't know her at all, okay? So let me get that out in front. I don't know Caitlin Clark at all. But just having seen her, the way she handles her business, she's very professional. She's very polite. She understands what her role is to help trying to grow the game. She didn't ask for any of this attention, okay? And who among us would not accept a shoe deal from Nike for $10 million?
Yeah.
Okay, so Angel Reese can cry and complain and take swipes at her all she wants. By the way, she got her own deal with Reebok, didn't she?
I think so.
Did Shaq hook her up?
Yeah, listen,
she sure did.
So, yeah, that made no sense. But, yes, sorry, Steve, but she is just as popular, yeah.
There's a lot of petty jealousy going on. Some people, including Asia Wilson, by the way, are trying to make this a racial thing. Now, Asia has kind of backed off that original stance,
mm-hmm.
you know, with black and white and stuff. But Becky Hammon said, enough with this black and white stuff. So she defended Caitlin. And I'll tell you what, you know, I was so impressed with the way she handled herself in the pregame media scrum. They brought her into the room. They didn't do a thing outside the locker room where, you know, there'd be like 40 people surrounding her. It was done very structurally. And frankly, you know, the NHL could learn a lesson or two from these guys. But anyway, all that being said, she's going to need some time. She's a rookie. You don't just come into this league and dominate right away. Even Asia Wilson, as great as she's been, took her a little time to adjust to playing at this level. And she'll get it. Mm-hmm. You know, and again, I kind of drew a slight comparison to Michael Jordan in the sense that when Jordan came into the NBA, he needed some help. He needed a better coach. He needed better players around him. Eventually, he got Scottie Pippen and a few other players, and they got Phil Jackson to coach him, and he achieved the greatness everyone expected of him.
Yeah.
I don't know that Caitlin Clark will get that same kind of, you know, parallel universe, but if she works hard enough, and I think she is a hard worker, and they get her better players and maybe some better coaching, maybe she'll have that success that people think she's going to achieve. But it's going to take time. And, I ended my column Saturday with a quote from Jonquel Jones at Liberty, who said, let her breathe. Give her time. Mm. Give her some space. Not easy playing in this league. It's a really good league. Probably, arguably, the best women's pro basketball league in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what goes on in Turkey, let's say, or in China or Japan or Russia. But, I mean, this is pretty good basketball at this level, the WNBA. So she's leading her team in scoring. She's also leading her team in turnovers. She's learning as she goes. And the WNBA definitely did not do her any favors making her team play 7 games in 12 days.
No.
I mean, you could tell, Arash, you could tell by the third quarter, Caitlin Clark's tank was on E, and there was no gas station in sight for her to fill up or recharge, you know, if she had an electric car. in her. You know what I'm saying?
100%. And when you look at some point in time, I believe they were going to introduce charter flights at some point in this league. It would not have happened this year if it was not for Caitlin Clark, and would not have happened this early in the year if it wasn't for Caitlin Clark and the schedule, the gauntlet, as you mentioned, that they put her through. 7 games in 12 days, you know, games in Indiana, Connecticut, New York, Los Angeles, Las Vegas.
Seattle.
They had to give her and that team charter flights to, I mean, they were going to look so bad, Steve. Like, if you had sold out a arena and the Fever didn't come, not because they weren't ready to play, but because they were stuck on a, you know, their flight got canceled, you know, on United or Southwest or something. They could not have that happen. So, thankfully, when you look at what Caitlin Clark has done, again, Steve, I cannot tell you, as someone who's gone to so many Sparks games, and again, the Sparks began the season playing 2 games at the Pyramid in Long Beach in front of 5,000 or less fans, to be playing in front of 20,000 fans. It is incredible. But with that comes hate. And as you know, but I will say this, and I would love for you to touch on it. I have not seen a star player do the kind of media that she does, having covered the 2 games in Los Angeles and in Las Vegas with our great reporters at the Sporting Tribune. She talked following practice. She talked pregame. Mm-hmm. She talked postgame. At some point in time, like, they are, and again, I can't believe that I'm saying this, like, as a reporter, at some point, like, that is a bit much. I mean, she should talk postgame, but I've never seen a player of her stature talk in a one-day period, post pregame practice, pregame, and then postgame. She's talked to the media 3 times in one day. What was she like?
I'm surprised she didn't run out of things to say.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, I'm sure a lot of it is repetitive. You know, people like myself who have never talked to her, I tried to come up with questions that maybe were pertinent to basketball that, you know, that would be, not to give her a free pass or anything, but I thought would be pertinent to the story. And the question I asked her toward the end, and she answered it very thoughtfully, was how has she been able to adjust her game to that of her teammates and her teammates adjusting to her?
Mm-hmm.
And especially when they don't get to practice. You know, this 7 games in 12 days not only took its toll on the court, but also it deprived the Fever of some much-needed time in practice to really get familiar with things. I mean, she's kind of learning on the fly, on the job. And, you know, she said that, you know, she sees where it's getting a little better each day, each game, the familiarity between her and her teammates and the coaching and just her game. They're trying to figure it out. So I'm not surprised at 1-6. I do think at some point they will find a way to put some wins together and maybe be competitive. I don't see them making the playoffs necessarily.
Yeah.
It's just not good enough. But I do think that with time and patience, she's going to be fine. And I do think her media will subside once she's been around the league and she's been to all the cities. The one I'm worried about the most is when they play Chicago. Because I think Angel Reese is trying to generate like a pro wrestling type feud with her and Caitlin Clark. And I think it's kind of sad. You know, there's no need for it. Let everyone play. You know, you didn't see Cameron Brink Friday, who was the second player taken overall, who was a fabulous player in her own right, for the Sparks, you know, be bad-mouthing Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
But here's Angel Reese after they won the other night, you know, ripping her on Twitter, you know, taking a cheap shot at her. And how ironic was this, though? They're playing Connecticut. I'm talking about the Sky. And Angel Reese got cheap shotted on the floor during the game.
I saw that.
So, you know, there you go. I do think at some point between the league and the Fever PR people, they will kind of reduce her media obligation workload, because I remember when LeBron James came into the league, Barash, and every stop, it was like a traveling circus.
Yeah.
And LeBron had this woman, Amanda, I forgot her last name.
I remember the PR woman, the PR woman,
her job was strictly only to worry about LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of the Cavaliers were handled by somebody else on the Cavs PR staff. And she wasn't very nice, by the way. All right? But she had to be firm because so many people wanted a piece of LeBron James.
Yeah.
And she had to really restrict it. I mean, she understood, the league also understood, that LeBron James needed to be out there speaking and talking. And, you know, we've seen LeBron over the years grow as a person, and he's become far more insightful, more social consciousness. And you know, he's even waited on Caitlin Clark in the hate stuff. And, you know,
yeah,
he has defended her. Charles Barkley has defended her. And I think it's good when people of this stature come to this woman's defense. You know, she's only 22 years old.
Yeah.
Let's keep that in mind as we track her career and her trajectory. It's going to take her a little time to learn how to play the game at this level. She will get there, though. She has the talent, and she definitely has the ability.
Steve, over the weekend, we had the last ever Pac-12 sporting event. U of A beating USC. Tough for me to watch, but listen.
They were up
with 6 outs to go. But listen, U of A is the better team. They will go into the Tucson Regional as a 13 seed, finishing the season 36-21. But anyway, and it was the last live broadcast on the Pac-12 network. So again, we've been talking about this for some time. Again, the last Pac-12 football game was in Las Vegas. The last Pac-12 men's and women's, I believe, basketball games were in Las Vegas. And now we have the final event of the Pac-12, final broadcast on the Pac-12 network. You've written a lot about this. You've been covering it. Kind of your thoughts on the official death of the Pac-12 conference. Steve, I think you are frozen here. We're going to try to get you back on here. Let's see if we can get you back on. But it is shocking that this was the end of the Pac-12. It was a conference that I've loved so much growing up in Los Angeles, having gone to USC. In fact, I began my college career in Tempe at Arizona State University, where they have the Walter Cronkite School of Journalism. So to see the Pac-12 come to a close is still surreal. It's still sad. It's still something that I'm not quite sure will make sense to me as we think back to what could have happened. Again, you look at it, University of Washington was in the national championship game. You look at the basketball programs, the number of teams, again, the women's basketball programs in terms of half of the teams in the Elite Eight, you know, the teams that got to the Sweet 16. You look at Stanford, you look at USC with Juju Watkins. I mean, the number of teams in the Pac-12 that had fantastic seasons, and there was no reason for this conference to be disassembled like this, even with USC and UCLA leaving, this conference could have continued. I mean, you look at how popular Deion Sanders and Colorado were this year. Must watch television. I mean, some of the most watched football broadcasts this season came from the Pac-12. So when you talk about the TV contracts that they could have had, the TV contracts that they did not get. It was such a failure on the heads and the leadership of the Pac-12 that they could not make that work. But now, when you look at colleges officially, again, this is professional sports now. You know, when you get paid to do a job, when you get paid to do something, you are a professional. So now college sports, and again, we've joked about this for years, and now it's official. College sports is effectively professional sports. Schools can now pay players to compete in the respective sports. So, you know, it's you can't hide behind name and image and likeness anymore. It's just, listen, effectively, if USC, for example, wants to pay a quarterback $1 million a year to play quarterback for them, they can. And when you start getting paid, you know, whether it's five figures, whether it's six figures, whether it's seven figures, when you start getting paid to do a job, you are a professional. And so that's where we are. And so why did USC and UCLA leave? Well, they're going to make a lot more money with the Big Ten than they would have if they had stayed with the Pac-12. That being said, the Pac-10, if they would have just kept the 10 remaining schools, or the Pac-12, if they would have welcomed in two more schools, that could have succeeded. That conference would have been the third conference behind the SEC and the Big Ten. But USC and UCLA saw where things were going. They saw where things were going. So it was not shocking that the Pac-12 died the way they did. Steve, we are up against it, but in the last 90 seconds, if you can, your thoughts on the death of the Pac-12.
Well, I've said for a long time how sad it is. And again, I go back to my assigning blame to the presidents and the chancellors of the universities and the ineptitude of the commissioners. You know, both of them. And this should never have happened. And it's very sad. And I know there's talk of resurrecting the Pac-12 with some Mountain West teams and some American Athletic Conference teams. I hope it works. It won't be the same. But again, this is the world and business of college sports these days. It's a sad reality that money is the driving force behind everything that happens now.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And again, so the Pac-12 effectively this upcoming season will live on with Washington State and the Oregon State. But you're right, Steve. They're going to try to keep that name, try to keep that logo, try to maybe bring in 10 of the Mountain West schools. So we'll see what happens with that. We will have you back on soon. Again, a lot happening in Las Vegas coming up next month with the NHL draft. Conor McGregor, we're returning to the UFC, so we'll have you back on. Let's leave it there for now. When we come back, we'll be joined by our good friend Willie Ramirez, talking more about the WNBA when we come back right here on the Mightier 1090 in Southern California, the Bet in Las Vegas, on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network.
We'll be right back with the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now, in a city where time disappears. We create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big, we go all night, and here everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Still climb with the underground
when we come around. Welcome back to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. Just as a reminder, if you have a question or comment or want to win tickets to an upcoming game in Southern California, Las Vegas, or Hawaii, call our hotline 310-400-0340. All right, let's welcome in from the Sporting Tribune, Willie Ramirez. Willie, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. Very historic weekend, or at least 2 days in Los Angeles and Las Vegas. Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever coming to town. It was significant in Los Angeles in terms of it was the first Sparks game that sold out Staples Center / Crypto.com Arena, over 19,000 people there. Again, because of the way that the arena was configured, that is more than an actual sold out Lakers game. So it was a hell of a thing to see. Caitlin Clark does get her first win that came in Los Angeles And then the very next day, just speaking to the gauntlet of a schedule that the league put her and the Fever through, 7 games in 12 days, they lose the following night in Las Vegas, sold out crowd at Michelob Ultra Arena. You were in Vegas, but again, you've been on every Zoom and really covering the league throughout. Your thoughts on, again, a big weekend in Los Angeles and Las Vegas?
Well, it's going to, you know, I mean, it speaks to what everyone's been talking about in terms of wanting to see Caitlin Clark her first time through the carousel of the first game in a visiting arena. And on a bigger scale, I think it's a good thing for the league, because what it's doing, what people fail to mention or see is that what it's doing is that it gets you out to see really good basketball. Some of the top basketball players, you know, the greatest 144 in the world, realistically, right?
Yeah.
But so as the Fever stop in Seattle, they stop in LA, they stop in Connecticut, they stop in Las Vegas, you're not only seeing Caitlin Clark, but you're seeing, oh wow, what have I been missing? What's been going on? Right? They come to LA. Let's look at what Cameron Brink, what? Kia Nurse's career is revived. De'Erica Hamby? Let me get a drink from her fountain of youth, right? So, I mean, the reality is they're coming out to see Caitlin Clark, but they're getting to see what the WNBA has been all about.
Yeah, and I think that was the best thing is that, and again, I love that it's the whole spectacle of it. You know, we had great coverage. You, Steve Karp, Will were in Vegas. We had Fredo, Ray, Shanice, who's doing our social in Los Angeles. It's the whole, like, what are they wearing coming in? Pre-game, post-game. What was the scene like in Las Vegas? Again, I don't know why they couldn't have moved this game to T-Mobile, but the next time that Caitlin Clark comes to Vegas, that game will be at T-Mobile. What was the scene like?
Well, to answer the second part first, I believe that the reason they probably did not do this one is at the time the NHL was still in season. I don't think that they wanted to run the risk that they butt heads with the NHL playoffs in case the Golden Knights were still alive. So you got the defending Stanley Cup champs, and then if there's a chance they're still defending their title, then what do you do?
Yeah.
So I believe that was the case there in terms of waiting till the July. As far as the scene is concerned, it's funny, Ross, because I was telling people as I was walking in there, hey, you ready for the big circus? You ready for this? I said, you know what? To be honest with you, nothing's going to be different in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
It's been sold out every single game. The crowd is always raucous, right? We see the entertainment, the pregame hype, the everything, right? Buckets jumping on the dang trampoline, banging his tambourine. That's the bunny for you listeners out there, the mascot that walks around. The circus, more or less, with Caitlin Clark, when it came to Vegas, I don't know about other cities, was the media.
Yeah.
It was having to deal with a packed press room. It was watching her walk out of the tunnel and the throngs of photographers and videographers standing around the tunnel. Wait, you know how the setup is. Waiting for her to walk out. Watching her do every move. I mean, lacing up her shoes. They're getting pictures. There was a really cute scene when she was at one end, Kate Martin's finishing her warm-up, and Caitlin Clark was starting hers, and they caught each other's eye, and they did this little skipping thing. It was like skipping through a field of greens, and Caitlin Clark leaped into Kate Martin's arms, and everybody, you know, I wish I had my phone out, because I would have been guilty at that point of filming that, because I thought it was an adorable moment. But again, once that's done, once the connection is done, okay, leave them alone. But no, they stood around. They're filming. They're videoing. They're taking pictures. And I get it, but, you know, let them have their moment. So, you know, and then the other thing is, as you know, with media availability, before the game, there's a 90-60 window. You can grab them off just as they come off the court. Once you go through the PR agent, Caitlin Clark's been doing media room sessions before the game. She's doing post-game availabilities. I found out when they got here that there's sometimes she's doing shoot-arounds. And so in the morning when they do the 10, 11 a.m. shoot-around. So three times a day for this girl, seven games in 12 days, introductory press conference, training camp press conference, then you got the season opener. I mean, let's just call it what this is. I mean, this girl, realistically, in 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks time, has probably done 30 media sessions, if not one-on-ones. I mean, I'm just waiting to see the Holly Rowe sit down with the black background and the deep conversation in 60 minutes. I mean, you know, she said it on a Zoom to me after the Sparks game when I asked them, her and Aaliyah Boston, just how are you two doing? Just point blank, how are you doing? And she said that I speak to the media more than I speak to my family.
Yeah, I talked about that with Steve Karp in the previous segment. I have never seen a player of her stature. And when I say that, listen, I mean, you know, and Karp wrote about this in terms of the hate she's getting on social media, and we'll touch on that. But I have never seen a player do, to your point, post-game shoot-around, pre-game availability, post-game availability, to your point, three times. And again, she did this in Los Angeles. Fredo did a great job of capturing that. Again, you know, pre-game, post-game, post-practice, post-shoot-around.
Yeah.
Willie, weird for us to say this as part of the media. Someone in that PR department probably should be like, if you want to catch her pre-game, pick one of those. And then obviously she has to talk post-game. I think three is a bit excessive because I mean, she's probably like answering the same questions pre-game. But they got to scale that back a little bit.
I talked to Ryan Stevens from the Indiana Fever, and he said that he, you know, at some point he's let the league know when they reach out for certain things for availability. He's like, hey, y'all need to work with me here. Seven games, 12 days. Here's what the girl's doing. And he said she's answering a lot of the same questions, which is, you know, why I've tried to shake it up when I'm when I'm on Zoom and I've asked her several questions and they've gone to me for them. The specificity of what I was writing led me to, you know, specific questions that weren't repetitive to what she's hearing. But beyond that, there's hundreds of reporters. You know, when you think about the Zoom sessions, I mean, I go on some of these post-game Zooms and there's five people, seven participants, plus who's ever in the room. You go on to a Caitlin Clark press conference or an Indiana Fever in case she's going to show up. And there's, you know, 20, 30 people. She did not do post-game after the Aces. And when they walked in and I saw Mina and talked to Ryan, you know, with the Fever PR department, and they said, no, Caitlin will not be made available. It'll be Lexi Hull and Aaliyah Boston. I was like, good. She needs some rest.
Yeah.
That girl needs some peace of mind. So I think after this first time through, Arash, and the first time that they played every single team once – that it'll scale back a bit and they're going to dial it down. They had a couple of days off. Here's something. I've yet to see an email from the Fever since Saturday night's recap. Now, I know they traveled. They took a couple of, you know, and then they had 2 days off. They're back in action, I believe, Wednesday. But fact of the matter is, I mean, I've gotten emails from all 11 teams so far at some point since Saturday night, nothing from the Fever. So they all need a break, and they all need to be commended for the work that they've done. Seven games in 12 days, again, I keep repeating that, but it's not – I mean, Caitlin Clark – and you know what, by the way, I'm sure Steve said this, she's handled it well.
Yes, yeah.
This girl has been impeccable with how she's handling the media.
When you look at the league bringing on charter travel, and again, they couldn't do it just for one team. But the reason is, again, there's a lot of reasons. You can at least give Caitlin Clark the credit for it happening this soon. Again, I think we both agree it was going to happen at some point in time. Maybe not this season, but the reason that it happened this year, the league put her through this gauntlet because you really want to showcase Caitlin Clark, whether, you know, Seattle, New York, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, seven games in 12 days. I think is borderline ridiculous. It was not fair. But again, you could not have a sold-out arena and you could not have the Fever and or Caitlin Clark not arrive because there was a plane malfunction or their Southwest flight was delayed or something like that. Would have been so embarrassing for the league that You could do this. You could have 7 games in 12 days, but you needed to introduce charter travel. And beyond that, when you have a player who's moving the needle to the point that you're having 20,000 people show up, you know, again, not that they've gotten this TV number for games, but, you know, the college basketball championship, close to 20 million people viewing. You can't have a celebrity of that note sitting in 23C. It just does not make sense. Touch on the way that she has moved the needle, because she the ticket prices in Los Angeles, and I don't remember what it was in Vegas, but more than for the Clippers playoff games. I mean, it was really incredible. I mean, just to get your foot on the door was going to cost you almost $100.
Yeah, I was there for I've been there for all the 4 home games, but it was I think it was the Mercury game. The second Mercury game, and I was talking to a former basketball player. She just finished her college career. She's back home working, and she told me that she was sitting front row behind the Aces bench, and she was in her former coach's seat. And I said, are you going to be here for the Fever? And she said, oh, no. I couldn't get those tickets. And I said, oh, yeah, your coach is coming. She said, no, she sold them, $1,000 a piece.
Amazing.
$1,000 a piece. Now, game night, mutual friend of ours, Steve Cofield.
Yeah.
Right before tip-off, he was doing some filming, or maybe it was at halftime. I can't remember. He was filming something, getting some footage. And he said, no, it was right before tip-off, because he said he wanted to – he said, do you think that it'll sell out? Will there be empty seats? He said that secondary market, they were down to $77 a pop.
Right.
So tickets had been so high leading up to it that if you waited to the last minute, you could have got in. But, yeah, as far as the charter flights are concerned, I think – it's unfair to say, you know, you can't have someone like Caitlin Clark sitting in row 23, because prior to this year, it was unfair to the Asia Wilsons, the Brianna Stewarts, the Sabrina Ionescus, you know, to have them sitting, the Neka Ogumekes, the D'Erica Hambys, for that matter, right? Here's someone who, when she travels, would like to be with her daughter.
Yeah.
And so she's got to get an extra seat, and then she's got to get, you know, if her mom's coming to watch Amaya, now she's got her second child, Legend. So, but I do think you have to credit. So this was a really controversial situation and question that had come up before the season on a Zoom with Asia Wilson and Becky Hammon, because they said they asked her if they were upset that a white player was the reason that they were finally getting charter flights when they had worked so hard. She said, no. Basically, Becky shot it down and said, stop doing black-white.
Yeah.
Asia said, that's a discredit to just all the players that have been working hard to get this chartering going. But I do think that there is something in the to be said. The front office might have said, you know what, we cannot have Caitlin Clark sitting among you know, with the throngs of fans that are coming around. Doesn't mean that there weren't before, but she may have expedited. But I do think that that Kathy Engelbert and company were working. She said that the money that was raised, it wasn't just an immediate funding. It was something that they had been doing. They did last year, so they had the money in place. It was a matter of enacting it as fast as possible due to the throngs of fans and the crush that was coming toward the WNBA. They knew they had to do something, and this was finally the thing that put it over the top. But it wasn't solely on Caitlin Clark. She just sort of sealed the deal.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know whether you know the answer to this. So when the LVCVA did the $100,000 per player deal, I really wasn't thinking about the top 10 players, because again, that is a bargain depending on what you're getting. Kelsey Plum and Asia Wilson, Kate Martin, you know, those girls, players move the needles. I was more curious about like the last player, again, the player who just barely made the roster, or in the case of what just recently happens, if Las Vegas cuts a player and then replaces them, do you know? I mean, that to be honest, I was more curious about like the last two slots on the roster where they just barely made the team, or a week later they might get cut. Do you know the answer to that? And if not, I think that would be a great story, because basically, You're talking about six figures being on the line if you at least make the roster, or at least I'm assuming that there's a clause in the contract that you have to last the entire season.
Yeah, well, and the other thing is, my guess is, Arash, that the deal goes in place after the season's over.
I see. Yeah. Yeah.
How are you going to say, hey, we need you to come film a commercial? I mean, the only thing I could think of is the players that aren't going to the Olympics during that 2.5-3 week hiatus from the All-Star break through the end of the Olympics. Hey, we can get Kirsten Bell and Sid Colson and Kia Stokes and, you know, Megan Gustafson and Kate Martin to come do some promotions for whatever, you know, for the upcoming F1, so on and so forth, or whatever it is that they're going to try to get them promoted. But I think one of the important points to make, in which you said, was like as far as the top players versus the bottom players is, you know, I wrote a story on WGRamirez.com for Kate Martin, right? And I think I said this last week on the show, you know, I was getting 25, 30, 40, you know the importance of content and consistency and doing the same thing. So my power rankings are coming out today, third straight Monday. Kate Martin sent my clicks over the top.
Yeah.
So realistically, I think on a day-to-day basis, if I wrote a feature on Kelsey Plum or Asia Wilson, when I did one on Asia Wilson, it's A1 since day one, my column on her and her deal, right? I don't remember how many clicks it got, but Kate Martin's engulfed it.
Yeah.
So the reality is right now, because of Iowa and Caitlin Clark and the popularity and the following that they have, they can move the needle more than with garden variety general clicks. I'm not saying that she's a better player or she's a more popular, but with clicks and interest, there's something to be said with what her value is worth. Now, how about Daisha Fair?
Yeah.
She just got waived yesterday.
There you go.
So her deal goes out the window because the deal, they spoke with agents and the deal was in place, but you're right. Do you have to stay with the team for the entire season? You know, I wonder what those clauses are. That's a good question for Steve Hill from the LVCVA. And again, when do they start doing their promotions? I'm guessing that they cannot interfere with what they got going on. Becky's not going to stand for that.
No.
Yeah. Becky's not going to stand for that. There's going to be no, especially with how they've been playing, no distractions. So, I think that the deal is during the offseason you come promote Vegas.
Last question. Again, you just brought this up, and again, we'll have plenty of time to talk about this. When the Team USA women's team is made official, again, 4 Las Vegas players are on the pool there. We'll see how healthy Chelsea Gray is, and then Asia Wilson, Kelsey Plum, Jackie Young. There will be a big Las Vegas contingent at the Olympics, right?
Potentially. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I'm excited to see. Yeah. The 2028 team, the 2024 team. I think we know. You know. I think we're beyond the dream team type talk of the women. But I'm excited to see what's going to take place in 2028 in Los Angeles with everybody. When you consider Caitlin Clark will have how many years under her belt. Angel Reese, Cameron Brink. I mean, the new era of, and then then we will have reached the point where now we're talking about Asia Wilson in her second, third, Kelsey Plum, you know, so that's going to be a dominant team. I'm excited for this summer, but I'm definitely excited for 2028 and as to see what we have coming.
Yeah. I mean, Juju Watkins, you know,
Juju
hometown.
Watkins. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Paige again, Paige we'll
Becker,
see how good the Sparks do, but there's already a little bit of talk here about, hey, like let's, you know, tank for Paige. They don't have their draft pick the following year. So you probably won't get a, Juju Watkins to Los Angeles, but you're 100% right, Willie, how much this league and how much the sport is going to grow. So happy, for example, that USC and UConn have seen this and are going to do a home and home. So many fans are now, when you talk about the popularity of the WNBA, it's really connected to the collegiate game that so many fans are watching women's college basketball. They're watching the draft. They're intrigued by the mock drafts. And so you become connected to Caitlin Clark and Kate Martin and Angel Reese and Paige and Juju. And again, 4 years from now, I mean, I really believe, to your point, and you're covering it better than anybody, how the popularity of the league is going to grow. You have a team coming up in San Francisco, a team in Toronto. It will only grow. Willie, we will have you back on next week as well. Maybe even this week if you have time. That's all the time we have for today. Let's do it again tomorrow. Until then, this is Arash Markazi saying stay safe Stay healthy.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.